and my co-host Mike on Tuesday, June 11th at noon for a live interview with Executive Director Eli Dietz of the Spokane Edible Tree Project, right here on 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
What? Hey, everybody. Welcome to Out and About. Yes, all systems are nominal. We're still taking off. Okay, stop that. Welcome to Out and About. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. I am your host, DJ Captain Maeve, and you're listening on 88.1 or 92.3 FM. Just to let people know, there is an evacuation, a level 3 evacuation taking place north, or I guess over by the airport. Let me read it for you so you don't evacuate your home accidentally. There's level 3 evacuation. Leave now. This may be your only notice. Fire District 3. Residents living to the west to Abbott and east to Dorset, north to Hallett, south to Morning Lane must leave now due to the life-threatening conditions in your area. So I would imagine it's so smoky over there, you probably know if you're being threatened, but I just want to get that out of the way. Hey, I have a couple of old friends, a couple of new friends, and we are going to be talking about the world premiere of Chelsea Duvall's The Same Incident, and we're really excited about that. It's going to be at Stage Left Theater, where, you know, kind of has a habit of doing world premieres. And I have in the studio, why don't we just go around and introduce ourselves? Do you want to kick it off, David? I mean, yeah. David is an old hand here. Right. David, I haven't seen you in so long, though.
It feels like it's been too long.
I know, it has been really long.
You know, I find we get on the radio and that's how we seem to catch up.
Yes.
So we see each other here.
Yeah, with headphones on.
That's right. I'm David Bullis. I'm the director of The Same Incident. I have had the privilege of kind of guiding the ship as it steers along.
And you, and so David, you are also a talented actor, playwright. You do it all.
You know, I just like to keep busy.
Well, you're doing it. You're doing it. And we'll dive more into, because I got a lot of questions about how you directed this thing. So we'll dive into that as well.
All right. Hello. I'm Joseph Pentico, and I'm playing Citizen in The Same Incident.
All right, so you're one of the stars.
Sure, if you want to say that.
I like to think of you as a star.
Oh. Okay.
Hi, I'm Miley Quisano, and I'm playing Girl in The Same Incident.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome to both of you, the stars. And then, of course, the woman of the hour, Chelsea.
Hi, Maeve, how are you?
I'm doing well. Doing better now that I'm with you.
I know, we never get a slowdown together. When you were talking to David, that's what I was just thinking, is... We see each other in passing, but we don't get a like.
I know. I'm usually seeing you at the end of one of your performances, but this time it's a play that you've written.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not in this one at all.
Yeah. Is that hard for you?
Nah,
it's a whole.
It's just a different challenge, right?
Yeah. Right, and you've been working on this play for quite a few years, haven't you? I mean,
yeah.
And has seen many iterations. And I know I talked to David about Spokane playwrights, mm-hmm. And that's been, you know, I think probably you workshopped it there, if I remember.
Yeah, we did a draft workshop with a couple readings, but it's had two workshops before, but this is one in California and one over in Seattle. But this is sort of the first, like, full production. And, like, I don't really have my hand in it much. I mean, I've done, like, a couple changes, but... And I'll be there tomorrow night for the first time. I'm really excited.
that is going to be very, very exciting. Well, why don't we tell people a little bit about what the story's about?
Yeah. Do you want me to do it, or David, or one of the actors?
Whoever wants to. Maybe you guys can chip in, and everybody can kind of put in their little two bits in the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of curious. Actors, what is it about?
Yeah, do you guys know what it's about? Sometimes you can be an actor and not know what it's about. That's for sure.
I don't know what I'm doing. No, I'm just kidding. okay, I'll start and give you time to think, Miley. To me, this play is not so much about the specific policies we should try to enact to hopefully make change about gun violence, but it's more so the kind of conditioned responses that we have to gun violence in America. And I would hope that from the audience perspective, people would feel this play is about frustration and maybe will inspire them to actually go out and take action within their communities. That's what I hope.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess this play is a lot about, like, bringing light to the issue, because I feel like a lot of times the issues of, like, school shooting and mass violence are almost kind of ignored in society today, or made so, like, political. But I feel like this show really brings it down to, like, the issue and shows, like, the human impact that it has on everyone involved from multiple angles.
I think they did a pretty good job actually distilling it.
Okay, all right.
I was curious to do it because it's not really a linear storytelling play at all.
Yeah.
So it is sort of a collage of stories. And I think that they both hit different elements that are important. One is, yeah, the human condition and response. And then two is highlighting the theme of the redundancy of mass shootings in the United States and our lack of... political action in a way,
sure,
that alleviates the challenge of these instances occurring,
yeah,
again and again.
Yeah.
So I thought it was great. I wanted to push it to them to see sort of what they would say.
Yeah,
I love it.
And of course, there are thoughts and prayers. I mean, people are doing that.
Plenty thoughts of those.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Or love and light.
Yes.
The show is about love and light. And thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, yes. And we're all, you know, thinking and praying to go to the show. All right. David, you got anything to put a bow on it with?
Well, I will say this is the type of theater that you go and it calls you to action.
Yeah.
It says, you know, this is a Cassius to Brutus type of play. The let me hold the glass to you.
Oh, nice.
And tell you who you are. And this is an overwhelmingly American phenomenon, as the script itself says. And that's a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
Why is that? And you can't come and see this show without having that very question start swirling in your mind. I think that's really imperative. And in the reading of the script from the initial workshop, well, even to asking you to be a part of the workshop process with SBL, to all the way up to now, it's something that uniquely terrifies me, being a parent with a kid who's going into second grade. And, you know, how young is too young for me to talk to him about this when he could experience it, you know, at any moment, which is a terrifying thing.
Right. And, like, what do you do with those anxieties? I mean, do you, that's a tough one as a parent these days. Cause like, if you mention them, then you're going to make the kid more anxious. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And and it must be weird too. Have you had anybody from, in the iterations of this play from a different country that ever said, like, I don't understand you people here.
So the script originated when I was doing my graduate studies at CalArts, and CalArts has a lot of international students. In fact, it's a very diverse, hugely diverse community, especially within theater. In my graduate acting class alone, there were 12 of us, and I think like only a handful of us were actually from the United States. So yeah, there were people in that iteration that had a relationship with it. you know, I think what David said is really interesting is American, right? Like, what does it mean to be an American?
Right.
And I think that unfortunately, our relationships with weapons and the frequency of mass shootings is something that has come to define us as a culture from the outside world, right? You go overseas and you don't even see some of the same carrying laws and police enforcement and things like that. It's just a different thing, right? It is American, unfortunately.
Yeah, about 30 years ago, we went to Australia and we got off the plane and there was somebody there taking like a survey. This is 30 years ago. And they said, where are you from? We said, the United States. Oh, you're going to like it here. No one's going to try to shoot you.
Yeah.
And then we met a guy on the beach and started talking to him. And he said, I don't know, do you send your kids to public school? Yeah. Oh, I would never do that. They could get shot. That was 30 years ago.
Well, and I did a residency in Berlin after I graduated in 2015. I did a residency in Scotland in 2015, 2016. And that's one of the things that people constantly would ask me was about this sort of thing. Is it really true? Are cops really just like carrying guns on their hips? Can you people just like do that? I mean, it is something that is frequently talked about. I have worked overseas considerable and still my friends are like, whoa, what's going on over there?
Well, it's got to be weird. You know, I think about, I don't know what it is about our culture, but we kind of can really become so forgetful. It's like the United States of amnesia. I mean, things like, I swear, if I could have a time machine and go back 10 years ago and say, hey, buddy, 10 years from now, you're going to be wearing this red hat that says MAGA on it. You are going to be supporting Donald Trump for president. If I told that to most people I knew that are vote, they would say, you're crazy. I would never do that. Mm-hmm. Yet here we are. And we just become numb to weird. I want to say the right word, but I have to hit the dump button. But, you know, we just become numb to this stuff.
Well, we selectively use history to justify actions too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the interesting thing about the amendment that people like to use excuses for, right? With gun violence is when was it written and why, right? At that time, soldiers were quartering in people's households, right? Our country was in a huge fracture, right?
And so, they had muskets.
Right. Oh, I know. They had muskets. They didn't have automatic rifles or whatever. I don't know.
Well, if you had the time machine, you could go back and fix that problem too.
Well, yeah. So it's funny because you're like, yes, we have amnesia, but we also have like selective history usage.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I'm going to use this and this, but I'm not going to remember that AXYZ happened over and over and over again.
Well, you know, along the lines of memory is, you know, creating this play. So you start out with this play. What year was it first? Did you first write it?
I think it was 2013.
Okay, 2013. So, gee whiz, 11 years ago. And which I could, what were you, 11 years old when you wrote this play?
Oh my gosh, Chelsea? You're so kind. I'm 40, Maeve. Thank you very much. And I'm proud to be 40.
I'm proud to be 64.
I don't smoke or drink, and that's why I look like I'm 23, right, Joseph?
That's it.
Yes.
That's right. The show's about beauty secrets. But I just kind of think that it must be interesting as you mature and get older and then you see people perform this, these lovely actors, that you look for things and there may be, are there some like aha moments or things that you didn't see before? And how do you deal with that? And how do you deal with that, David, when the direction comes up, we're going to change this?
Well, I mean, it might be good to dialectically go backwards.
Okay.
So the place that this play actually started was in 2008 at Northern Illinois University, where I was a student, and there was a mass shooting on February 14th. And then what happened was, I think it was 2012, Newtown happened, and I was in grad school, and I was folding laundry in my room, listening to NPR, like you do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is the same stuff. Like, and then I was like, oh, Morning Edition is over, and now Terry Gross is talking about the same stuff. So I don't know if I see anything new in it. I mean, I think that there are new expressions. Like, that's the brilliant thing about actors, right? Is like, they bring their own unique energy to something. So I may see like an expression of a given role that I've never experienced before, right?
Right.
But I think that part of what is resonating about this play is there is nothing new. It's the same thing happening over
okay.
and over again.
Okay. Which is interesting because in your title, it's the same incident, but same as in parentheses, which I think is pretty brilliant because you could it's the incident. So it sounds like there's something alarming about the incident when you talk about the incident, but when it's the that same incident,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it kind of like it really I think underscores the you know, the lack of alarm that we feel for it
and like reverence
and reverence, yeah. Yeah, that too. And so as you have gone into this production, do you kind of has the script changed at much from when you started or?
There was like some draft changes, but nothing like majorly structural. I mean, David, you can cut in here.
Yeah, we just had, you know, one revision where you came in and you saw some things and thought, I'm going to fiddle with this or fiddle with that. Something, you know, as a writer and you know, I have now new works developer in my brain.
Yes.
You know, so there's just certain things you can't see about your writing until you see it.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, we had one revision, but for the most part, this is, you know, this is where it's at. It's going to be really fascinating.
Right? And that revision, like David said, was really me going, oh, they're just showing this. I don't need them to tell it. Because I...
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Because I'm sort of like, that's my shtick, right? Like, I want them to show it. If it's showing it, I don't need to tell it.
That's the beauty of not being radio theater.
Oh, yeah. You have to tell everything.
A little bit. You can cheat a little bit. But yeah, so that... When you perform this, and incidentally, when does it open?
Friday?
Well, the thing is that you can catch the show on June 14th. That's when it opens. It runs for 3 weekends all the way to June 30th. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 p.m. And Sundays are matinees at 2 p.m. And I think, you know, when people experience this, this is one of those shows that, yes, you come and see it, but it is an experience. This is a kind of theater. In all my years of living here, and I've lived here my whole life, I've not seen this before.
Okay, cool.
You know, I've read plays that are on this kind of abstract space, but I've never seen one, you know, and so I think that people are going to be stimulated in a way that may surprise them.
That's cool.
And, you know, I, as an artist, my personal hope is that, you know, through art, we can help to craft stronger global citizens. And this is a play that shoots for that.
Okay.
No pun intended.
Oh, that was good, though.
all the puns. All the puns.
All the puns. But how, like, let's say, I'm sure there's listeners, those people who've just evacuated from Fire District 3, they're in their cars right now, and they're saying,
oh my gosh,
you know
safe,
what,
please.
This I could like to go see this play. How would they find out? How would they get tickets to
this play? Want to find your way to stageleftheater.org. You can get the tickets that way, and then there's, you know, always if you have more questions, you can reach out to the box office itself and reach out to them through there, which you can find that information on the website. I'm just scrolling to find it, of course. There, the box office opens up an hour before the show, and there's always going to be somebody there. You just call the number. That's 509-838-9727. Somebody's going to pick up and say, yo, you want to buy a ticket?
I get you set up.
And, you know, this show happens quick. Yeah. No intermission.
Oh, that's good.
So you can come to that 7 o'clock show and still have time to go... unwrap this experience.
And, you know, to see something that, you know, may wind up in much bigger venues someday, to be there and to say, I was there. And you guys are all going to be on that playbill forever, as well as Stage Left Theater will be on there too, as far as where it was first performed. So those of you who are listening and want to be a part of that, also Stage Left Theater is with an ER at the end too, not an RE, because we're not that highbrow. Stage left theater.
Well, you're not the study of. You are a physical space.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Okay.
It's true.
I believe you. I believe you. Okay. I'm going to play just a wee bit of music while I load up my 20-minute after the hour stuff, and then we're going to be right back here on Out and About on KYRS, Medical Lake, Spokane.
For a musical trip along Americana Avenue. Now on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Hear the greatest progressive songwriters from yesterday and today. Each week I'll feature a specific artist and a vinyl spin of the week. It's music that plays to the human condition, Wednesdays at 6 on Thin Air Community Radio.
Hi, this is Jeremy Whittington from Stage Left Theater. KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, provides our region with information that might be omitted, overlooked, or even censored by mainstream media. Your radio station is powered by the communities they serve, and our radio programs are as rich and diverse as the Spokane community itself. Please make a pledge today by texting GIVE KYRS to 44321. Your support ensures that KYRS can continue to celebrate the rich diversity of our community.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for June 7th through the 11th. Friday, Scott Ryan Ingersoll at J-Bone's Musicland, the Pink Sox and the Emergency Exit at the Big Dipper, and Quarter Monkey and B-Radicals at the Chameleon. Saturday, Amy Blue and Betsy Rogue at Riverfront Park for Pride, Aspen Kai at Huckleberry's, D.A. Jilly at Revival Tea Company, The Accused A.D. and Proleterror at the Big Dipper, and Sugar Bear and the Nightmares at Zola. Sunday, Andy Rumsey and Phil Brannan at Elliot's Urban Kitchen, the Kevin Shea Band at Arborcrest, and JoJo Knox at Zola. Monday, open mic at Live Entertainment, Corey Aileen at the Maryhill Tasting Room, Imagine Jazz at the Bad Seed, and open mic at the Red Room. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, Ron Green at the Osprey, the Hers Collective and Psychic Death at the Big Dipper, and Thelma and the Sleaze and Itchy Kitty at the District. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
The Great Pacific Northwest begins right here. Spokane, Washington. 50 years ago, the world came to Spokane. Come share a world of inside. Baby, ride over the phone. So much to see and to do. You can never be at all. KYRS wants to hear your stories. Keep your memories alive and share your Expo 74 experiences. Go to SPOSPO74.com to learn more. That's SPOSPO74.com.
Come and celebrate the beginning of summer in person with us. Thin Air Community Radio and Spokane Central Library present our next big show in the Get Loud in the Library concert series, featuring local bands Tone Sober, Aqua Valvier, and Cosmic Ranger. We're up here on the hall on the third floor of the Spokane Central Library, 906 West Main Avenue. Admission, as always, is free. There will be grain shed beer, wine, water, snacks, and more available. I think it's just the grain shed beer. There'll be wine, water, and snacks, too. More available. Sponsored by who else but the Grain Shed. And welcome back, everybody. I'm talking to my friends from the Stage Left production of The Same Incident. Hey, welcome back, you guys.
Yeah.
Did you have a good little break?
Yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah. Well, we are going to jump right back into our conversation. Levels a little high there. Our conversation about the show itself and all that goes into it. I wanted you guys to kind of talk a little bit about your characters, if you wouldn't mind. So it's kind of interesting because it is a not a montage but a collage. It's you, but you playing the same person in this as well. Oh, yeah. And who is your character?
Well, the way I view it is we take on a lot of different roles throughout the show, but it's essentially the same soul throughout the entirety of the play. For me, my character is Girl, and she is really just experiencing like mass shootings and gun violence, like firsthand. She's a very young character, and is being exposed to like violence at like such a rapid pace. And the throughout the play, the audience kind of gets to watch her see how she deals with that.
Very cool.
Yes, I think that was worded very perfectly. David, I know your background is fairly religious, and that's been a really nice incorporation into this, the ideas of these souls. We've also been playing with the idea that we're kind of in purgatory, and it's just kind of what our reality feels like at times, where we're just kind of thrown into these horrible throes of, here's another mass shooting, okay, here's the response we have to have, okay, here's how long we grieve for, and then we go back to kind of feeling numb until the next one happens like a week or two later. So it's been very difficult from the perspective of citizen, because
there not being a through story, like, I guess like a through line within the story, which I actually really love that. It's just, for, as an actor, you're like, okay, this next scene has to be almost its whole new world in this exact moment until the very next scene happens, and then that's the whole new world that you have to create these characters. So just having that same through line of, you know, the same idea of the same soul, but different people in those specific settings, you kind of get to see how, unfortunately, probably you as a viewer would probably react to almost the exact same situation had you been in that situation.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's, so you both, Girl and Citizen, are characters that sort of embody, they're almost like a through line through other people too, like other souls experiencing the same thing. And
yeah.
I think that's a pretty cool way to look at it. Mm-hmm. And then David, I'm going to put you on the spot here for Purgatory. Like that, in that, you know, Purgatory for me has always been like, well, you know, it's not hell, it's not heaven. You're just sort of going to suffer here till somebody says enough prayers for you, then you get a get out of purgatory free card.
Yeah.
But so, why don't you talk a little bit about that as far as how you envision?
Well, you know, I'll say I am like highly inspired by like Cloud Atlas, the film and the book, mm-hmm. by David Mitchell, and that concept of a singular self, like going through different versions of yourself. And like, I, you know, say like, you know, I would never be somebody who would wear a MAGA hat, but perhaps in that iteration I was, and how do I confront that version of me?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm also a big fan of like Dante's Inferno. So,
yeah.
You know, the notion of like, they're like in a circle of hell here, these archetypes, right. these entities, these characters. And what a fascinating thing to see. And, you know, the whole notion of that for me is like, okay, yeah. Let's see what happens. And then I just toss it out a couple of times and see how it germinates, you know.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of, like, sandbox video games where you just kind of find out what's going to happen. Let me just drop this in the water. Oh,
yeah, it's fun.
Experimentation.
Like, you're an evil scientist.
Yeah, and I mean, experimentation is encouraged.
Yeah,
in theater, you're never the same person from day to day that you're working on it. So, why would you present the same way? I mean, there is autonomy within creation, and I love that.
Yeah,
it's how you're going to get authenticity if you don't demand this rigorous. A rigorous like attempt at, I'm going to present myself the same way every day. Like, how do we do with that in life?
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't.
We're never the same person.
So, you know, finding ways to unlock small through lines that are like things that maybe an audience will never catch, but it's enough for us to string along our own experience as we're going through it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of this is influenced by my way of justifying and living in Passover at the same time.
You sure.
Know, that, where are we? I don't know. Purgatory? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I know that it's going to happen again. And I, you know, so the idea of that rep and rev, you know, that's, it's like all of life is a rep and rev.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens.
And how is that for you guys as actors? Does that make it more fun? Is it make it tougher or?
It makes it so enjoyable to work with David. He's a very collaborative director as well, so it's, you get to really bring a lot of yourself and a lot of your own ideas to the scene or to the work, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it's usually not a direct shutdown, but there's usually some way to kind of say, okay, I see what you're taking here, now we're going to kind of push you into this direction, and now we'll see, oh, that, look at that. Neither of us knew that's how that would turn out, but that just turned out lovely, so we'll just keep that as best as we can.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's fun to work with David for that.
Yeah, that, I think that would be a blast.
I'd say that also most of my experience with acting has been under David's direction. And I feel like his, like, way of just, like, letting me just, like, try different things and like explore the character has really allowed me to grow and just try different things that I never really thought of because it just happens. And I'd say I really like the way that he gives like, almost like critiques and notes, because they're not necessarily like, they're very abstract, which sometimes can be annoying because I don't know what to do and where to go with that. But most of the time, it makes me think, and I think that overall makes me a better actor.
Cool. That's really cool. And Chelsea, how is it for you? I mean, when you see the direction things are going, did you go to like one rehearsal and then you're done, or?
I've been to one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I went to like a stumble through. Like, what is that? Like early?
Really early. We weren't even out of book yet.
Yeah, it was a while ago. So yeah. I haven't, I'm just hearing stuff now.
Because
so.
you don't want to.
No.
I mean, that'd be really hard, wouldn't it? I mean, or no, would it be hard?
I mean, yes and no. I don't think, I just don't know if it's necessary.
Yeah. Your job is done.
My job's all internal now. So
right. So let's say you go, because I mean, every audience seems to be different, right? I mean, some people laugh at parts that you go like, nobody thought that was funny yesterday,
oh, totally. Yeah.
You know? And so when you do this as a playwright, do you kind of take notes to yourself and then will you change things or beef things up, or is this locked in now?
I think that I wouldn't be surprised if there's some additional like elevation after this. I'm going to go tomorrow night, and so we'll see what I think and feel then.
Yeah.
But it just kind of is, you know, this is the first time I'll see it manifested physically. So my question is, did the structure that I lay out on paper manifest some of the things that I thought were intrinsic to the values of the piece?
Okay.
I think it's a balance of like creating the structure for there to be space of interpretation, and then like also having a good foundation for like values within the piece.
Okay.
I don't know how to, I'm going to watch tomorrow night and see what happens, and then I'll let them like do their thing. Right.
Yeah.
Cause even just listening, like there's a portion of that that's like all theirs that has nothing to do with me.
Now you've written other plays too, right? I mean, this is the only, have they been debuted?
Produced, yeah.
At Stage Left as well?
No. Okay. I had another play that debuted over in Scotland, and that one also had an iteration in Seattle for a little bit, and on the boards. And then trying to think if there's been anything. Everything else is just kind of readings, just like here and there.
Sure. And you and David are both, I mean, you guys both kind of do the same thing. You write. You perform, you direct.
I don't know if we do the same thing.
No, but I mean like
we're both different people. Oh, I know, we're different artists.
I know, yeah. But different artists, but I mean if somebody had to categorize stuff, you guys kind of, although you do videography too, a lot of that. No.
Yeah, so that's been an interesting part of this process is that I've done all of the videography.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a medium that I've stepped into for a few years.
Right.
And so I love getting to learn something new.
Isn't that a blast?
Yeah. And, you know, film is so different from theater in so many ways, but the ability to showcase the best of someone.
Right, and I was going to ask you about that, because you do have the one where in the playground. I watched that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really cool. Is it, and people's, you know, people can watch that, just go to Facebook. It's on Facebook and on the socials, as the kids say.
You're so hip, man.
I know.
Super cool.
So yeah, so, but I mean, is that, so, you know, and I was going to ask you about that, because like directing somebody on stage and the total different, was that tough for you guys actors to do it in a different way?
I treat it very much like theater, and then I just shoot around it.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right, then it wasn't tough.
Wasn't too bad. I think the most interesting part was when we were filming that there were still people around, so we wanted to.
That is the best.
Yeah, that was.
I go like full Ed Wood when I shoot. Like here I am. I'm just gonna plant and shoot, and we'll see what happens. Like I tend to not have idea of what I want to do.
Yeah.
I have a location. I go, let's go there, and then let's find out.
Yeah, I love that. You know, we did an impromptu puppet show. We had like a theater set up outside the Japanese garden, like 4 years ago, and we were filming that. And of course, we didn't ask for any permission. We just set up, we filmed. But, you know, then we started, Michael and I decided we were going to do, we know all Jesus Christ Superstar. I said, I've always wanted to do that with sock puppets.
Sounds like with puppets.
Yeah, and sock puppet Jesus Christ Superstar. And so we started singing the songs, and then we didn't realize that there was like a whole group of people that just stopped. And then there was, of course, applause at the end. You gotta have that. But it was just, I love doing that in public. I just think it's a blast. It's a rush.
That's an elevation of Lloyd Webber, I think. Soft puppets.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Puppetry is definitely an elevation.
Yeah. Soft puppets with soft shoes.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We're talking about the future here, folks.
I think, okay, everybody, you heard it here first. This is going to happen. We're doing this project. Okay, I gotta do more stuff here, and then we'll be right back. I gotta run my show, play my stuff. Okay, everybody, we're gonna be right back. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake, out and about.
You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
Howdy, folks. DJ Spokane guy here. I host a music show called The Astral Range every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. on this here community radio station, KYRS. For each week's show, I'll take listeners on a curated journey from the homespun folk selections,
building up to a sky-minded plateau of psychedelic terrain,
then down the mountainside to base camp. Talking frontal lobe levitation, cerebellum sizzle,
medulla modulation,
and other forms of brain bubbling. Tune in to The Astral Range, Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m. on KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS is grateful for the many listeners who have donated their vehicles to us. You can join them by donating your unwanted car, truck, minivan, motorcycle, and more. Vehicles are picked up free of charge, sold, and the proceeds help KYRS bring you the programs you know and love. It's easy to donate your vehicle, and it's tax deductible. Just call our toll-free line to arrange a free pickup. 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227. Thank you.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Hey, I'm in the studio right now talking to friends about the play that they're in, and we should have done this before we broke at our 40-minute after-the-hour business, but it is called The Same Incident, a new play by Chelsea Duvall, and it is premiering at Stage Left Theater. It is a new work, so you have the chance to see a new work, which is really cool, you know, before it turns into a musical on Broadway or something. Hang on.
I just said no, don't do that.
Okay. Fair enough. I won't. I have no power.
I mean, yeah. I am partial to plays.
I know you are. Yeah.
I don't want to use
them. Oh, come on. Just a little.
Only if you do it with sock puppets.
Oh, okay. Sock puppets it is. See, that's how you work.
I think Citizen is perfect as a sock puppet.
That's very true.
Gotcha. That's Joseph's character.
Okay, very nice. Very nice. Now, you know, this is kind of in the news. I think it was in the paper this morning, and it made me think about the play. And I kind of wanted to discuss it with you guys, and maybe this conversation will go nowhere, but, you know, what the heck? Did you guys hear about the guy who, from Coeur d'Alene, who was out there harassing homeless people?
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, he harassed them enough that eventually they told him to knock it off, and then he shot him. shot a guy who I was carrying like half a cup of water. And he's wearing his MAGA hat, of course, as one does. And, you know, my first thing is I always go to Facebook. As soon as these things happen, I want to look at this guy's Facebook page. And it was just kind of what you expected. But I started thinking about this with your play and the whole thing about the, you know, being numb to this, to these events of shootings, mass shootings or shootings in any way, is that I wonder how much like social media, he was out there trying to get a story, you know, he was out there filming his interaction. He filmed himself shooting the homeless person, you know, and he probably will get money for doing that from certain parts. So do you think that social media, does that have any kind of aspect in our being numb to this, or is this outside the purview of your play?
Without a doubt. Okay. I mean, you know, I very much remember when Columbine happened. You know, I was young, and that was an imprint, and that was kind of an early time of like we're getting close to internet and social media times, and there is just something to the concept of I can see it, nope, swipe, nope, oop, you know, if something like this is occurring, somebody can hop on Instagram Live and now you're in the room with them, terrified as well, you know, in a very real way. But also, you're apart from it. And I mean, how many movies have we had about these kinds of subjects? It's very different when you go to a theater and you're in the room and you're experiencing the fear of it, right? And so I think there's this distance that a screen gives people to where they can go, well, there it is, but it can't hurt me.
Yeah.
The monster under the bed can't hurt me. I can just turn it off.
It's the paradigm of social media, right? It's intimate and it's distanced.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Also, there are not actually a lot of movies about mass shootings.
Yeah, I guess
there's a lot of movies that feature violence, right? Because violence is inherent in our society, in our nature, even as humans, right? Violence in creation, same thing.
We are part of our makeup.
Yeah. But the social media thing, I think that is an interesting thing that future productions could develop with this. Because I know when I was writing it, I wasn't really influenced by social media, but I was looking at the time we didn't, you know, have a lot of databases on mass shootings with statistics. But since then, we've gotten a lot more. And I was just going through, like, looking at this graph on Washington Post, looking at this graph on the Boston Globe, looking at this graph on, you know, this article on New York Times, on NPR.
Yeah.
So I was going through, like, media. So, like, media, social media, I think it all has a relationship with it. But like David said, right, it's disposable. It's both intimate and distancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is what is really cool about theater is it's right there. And I tell you, that's what I love about theater, and I make this pitch a lot, so people are going to used to me hearing this. Yeah, but you know, like, you're watching people risk. I mean, people who are making movies, we can do another take, but the folks up on stage have worked really hard to make it look really easy. And you're watching, or to me, it's always moving, especially in musicals, to watch people, watch people risk like that. And you're part of that. And the stage left is such a small, intimate theater that you can't help but be drawn. I mean, like, it's like 3D for your mind.
Yeah,
there, I feel like
right,
you know,
there with the people on stage.
Yeah,
very close.
You feel the emotions.
You could touch them.
Yeah, yeah, you really could, but don't.
Yeah, don't.
And why don't we tell people once again how they can go see this play, The Same Incident?
Well, you know, they can go to stageleftheater.org, and that's with an ER, not an RE.
Okay.
And from there, you can purchase a ticket. They have a ticket link there. It'll take you to on the stage, and you can do it that way. But I also believe you could call the box office an hour before the show, and somebody will pick up and say, "Hello," and you'll say, "I want to see the show. Can I, you know, reserve a ticket and leave my name with you, and then I'll come and buy it?" And I bet you they will take care of you. That phone number is
nice,
you know, 509-838-9727. That'll get you to the box office. The shows, of course, are running through the 14th through the 30th. With the Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays are 7 p.m. shows, and our matinees are at 2. And, you know, I just invite you to come and see this. I work on a college campus, and I've been promoting it all around the place I work at. And I actually have had conversations with multiple people who are like, so given this topic, I don't know if I can come and take the stand. And my response, of course, is, well, then I think you should. Yeah. But yeah. I understand if you don't want to. I get that.
Is it because of the political, like,
I think it's less about the political thing and more about the active fear of that happening.
Oh, okay. So, like, you know? Oh, I see. Like, sort of like a trigger warning.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's... working on a campus, there's always this concern of, well, today could be the day.
Yeah.
And this, you know, having somebody talk about it, taking an art that's making you confront, oh yeah, this could happen any day. Right. You know, that is a lot. I understand that.
I want to interject really quickly and just say a few things, because right, like, this was part of my lived experience. I also work at universities, and so I am very aware of it. And there were a couple choices that I deliberately made to try to keep some distancing. For example, there's never a shooter depicted. There's never a weapon depicted. Any sounds that are of a weapon have been distorted or required to be distorted. By technology. So we are also not giving reverence to the violence itself, right?
Okay.
And the other thing I want to say is, like, it is a sociopolitical piece in the sense that it's talking about something that has been politicized.
Yeah.
But I have been very careful not to implement my personal political views about gun violence or anything. Like, I want to go back to what Miley said. It's about the human experience of us being in these spaces, of us being in proximity to these spaces, and struggling to figure out how to manage in the face of this thing that happens in our country again and again.
Yeah, that's cool. And we're all adults, and we can all think about things. And, you know, I think sometimes there's an avoidance of some of this stuff, too, as far as like taking a stand on how you feel about it or changing the way you feel about it, because sometimes you can be moved. I mean, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, right? I mean, so you should, we as human beings, we should be ready to be moved by things. But I think there's also, sometimes people feel like there could be a threatening loss of a community that they're a part of, you know, whether that's a worship community, whether that's a political community, or even your mom and dad. I think sometimes people fight against some sort of evolution in their thoughts. So that's what I love about art. Can't help it. I mean, art does that. Art makes you hits you on a deeper level than being intellectually argued with.
I think it requires you to be vulnerable.
Yeah,
and that's really, I think, what people try to avoid.
That's key. That's key.
I think that's why this play is so important, because it takes away all of, like, the political sides and, like, what society has kind of formed this issue to, and strips it down to there are children hiding in classrooms terrified that they're going to die. And people have been ignoring that, and there hasn't been enough effort to change that. And it forces an audience member, no matter what your political views are, to realize that and realize that that's not right. As a society, we need to come together and fight this issue, because it's real and it's terrifying.
Right on. Well said. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to, we're about out of time. Anybody else want to close with anything?
I just want to add, that's exactly what I think a lot of this play tells us. It doesn't pay reverence to the violence, like Chelsea said, but it kind of mourns the humanity of those who survive. I won't obviously give any lines away, but there's a specific monologue that talks about how people, like, we should be thinking about the people who have to survive this, and this is going to live inside them. And with the rate that this happens in this country, I mean, if I know, like, in 2022, there's an Axios report that most mass shootings were carried out by far right-wing extremists. If you see this play, we hope that you can take that political view and maybe say, maybe this shouldn't be my identity, and maybe my identity should be a person who has empathy for other human beings who are in my proximity surviving and living through this. I hope that's something people will take away from this.
That'd be wonderful. I would hope so too. All right. Thanks everybody for coming and hanging out. And
well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we all made it happen. Okay. That's it for this episode of Out and About. Stay tuned to KYRS for more fantastic programming.
Thanks, Dave.
Love.
And now to Eden. Head now to Eden. No more trouble in my body or my mind. Gonna live like a king on whatever I find. Eat all the fruit and throw away the yay, brother, yay.
The black-robed scoundrel resorted to the classic gentleman's dodge. He blamed his wife. My wife is fond of flying flags, he said, insisting that he never even noticed them flapping in front of his house for the world to see. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's not just ugly, it's supremely stupid. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Hi, this is Lori. You're listening to KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane, on the dial at 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, is grateful to Turnmeyer Eco-Construction for being our tower guardian for the month of June. Just like people, our tower needs a safe place to reside. This month, our tower continues to have a secured home. Turnmeyer Eco-Construction of Colville and Kettle Falls provides bathroom remodeling and custom tile work. Information at 509-220-4367.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Après avoir procédé aux consultations prévues.
After having proceeded with the consultations as provided in Article 12 of our Constitution, I decided to give back to you the choice for the future of our Parliament with a vote. And so I am dissolving tonight our National Assembly.
President Emmanuel Macron dissolves the French Parliament, calls for snap elections following major gains by the far right in France and across Europe. We'll get the latest. Then, with nearly 85,000 people wounded in Gaza, its healthcare system is barely functioning after coming under direct attack by Israel. We'll speak with an emergency medical doctor who just left Gaza. And we'll be joined by Jewish American Army Major Harrison Mann. He's the first military and intelligence officer to publicly resign over the Biden administration's support for Israel's war on Gaza.
I started my resignation in November because even then, in the first weeks of the war, it was really clear that the Israelis were prepared to inflict massive numbers of civilian casualties, that their conduct of the war, including the killing of civilians, was going to provoke a violent response.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Hamas has accepted a United Nations Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. The U.S. supported resolution passed Monday on a vote of 14-0 after Russia abstained. Its passage came after the Biden administration vetoed three previous resolutions calling for a ceasefire. Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations, Riyad Mansour, called the resolution a step in the right direction and demanded a permanent ceasefire.
Our position has been always to have an immediate ceasefire to stop the killing of our people. So this resolution is a step in that direction. The proof is in the details, and we want to see that this resolution to be implemented beginning with the ceasefire, and that this ceasefire to be permanent. We do not want to see the continuation of the fighting.
In a statement, Hamas said it would accept